When I was a little boy, I remember in grade school, I don't remember which grade school. I don't remember if it was in Cuba or here in the United States, because I came to the United States when I was 10. But I remember going to catechism. And in those days, it was still the Baltimore catechism that was being used. For some of you who are young, and you don't know what the Baltimore Catechism is, it was a book, and it had questions. And each question, which was done in bold, then underneath, had a small paragraph that was the answer to that question. And religious education consisted in the fact that you had to memorize the answers to the question, and the teachers would ask you the questions, and you had to stand up and recite the answers to the question. Every once in a while, in the Baltimore Catechism, they had illustrations. And one illustration that I have still not forgotten is when they tried to explain original sin. Now remember, original sin is the teaching of the church that is expressed in the story, and it's a story that has a point, the story of Adam and Eve. In that story, human beings chose to separate themselves from their fundamental relationship with God. And they chose to believe the lie that was given by the serpent, that if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they would be equal to God. And of course, it was a lie, because the moment that they ate of it, the thing that happened was not that they were equal to God, they were severed from God, but being severed, if you remember the first after effect of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which in the ancient world, when you had knowledge of something, you had the ability to control that which you had knowledge about. And so, for example, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the lie that the serpent was saying was that if you ate of this tree, that you would be able to ignore what God was saying you should or you should not do. And therefore, you could say, even if God had prohibited something, you could say, no, I say that it's good. And so, basically, it's the tree of totally deciding for yourself, regardless of how God made you and your connection to Him. It's something that ought to be quite familiar to people who are growing up today. Because, you know, lots of people today say, I don't listen to anybody, I make up my own mind. As if, you know, you have the ability to do what the serpent said, which is to create your own good or your own evil. But that's beside the point, but not totally. You see, what happened at that moment is that we no longer knew who we were or what we wanted. We knew that as human beings, that something is missing. And you can see that. And you can see that even in babies. Now, please understand, whenever we approach this area of theology, there's all that we are able to say is that the reality that we live in is not the way it ought to be. We know it's not the way it ought to be. What changed, what aspect? It's like, for example, if you took if you had, say, some dough, okay, you were making a loaf of bread, and imagine that somebody took a fistful of sand and stuck it in the dough and started mixing it. The moment you began to eat it, you could tell something is wrong. However, not the whole dough has been ruined. There's aspects of the dough that are still the original dough. But the mixture has become such that you can't separate very well what the dough from the sand is all about. That's what's happened to human nature. Human nature right now is not evil, but it has been contaminated. And it is contaminated to the point that the human being does not know how to be human the way God intended us to be human. We have never experienced ourselves as human beings the way God intended us to be human beings. We have no knowledge of that. And as I always, tell people, the only normal human being is Jesus. Jesus is the only human being who is human in the way God intended, in the unpolluted or uncontaminated way that God intended. But I'm not going there. I'm going to keep on with us. One of the things that we lost was, as I said, our personal identity, not only of who we are, but who are we supposed to become? Because from the beginning, God created us as unfinished. When he created Adam and Eve, our first parents, or whoever, biologically were our first parents, those are two symbols. Whoever were our first parents, they were created in order to reproduce. And so a normal order of creation would include babies, would include new beings that were meant to grow as animals do and as human beings are supposed to grow. Now, here's the problem. What if and I'm going to use an analogy here. The analogy is of DNA. Imagine that the spiritual DNA is corrupted. And all of a sudden, you've got a human being that knows that we're supposed to grow, but we have no idea towards what. I mean, if you are supposed to grow, you're supposed to kind of have an idea of what you're supposed to grow towards. I mean, as human beings. Animals don't have that. An animal, a little puppy, doesn't sit around and think, ooh, when I grow up to be a big dog, I'm going to do this. Okay? Animals don't have that. They just, they behave by instinct. But a human being is the only being that has the ability to choose what you will become. Think about it. There's no other animal that has the choice of what kind of person you are going to be. Here's the rub. The original separation from God has contaminated the human being to such a degree that we don't know not only what we are supposed to be, we don't know what to want. Every human being constantly wants. I mean, think about it. We spend our lives wanting. From the time you were a little baby, you want. You want, and I want. You see, you ever seen little babies? I get a big kick out of, not a kick, I feel sorry for them, but at the same time, it is funny. But when you, like when I go to a grocery store or something and I see a mom with a little toddler, periodically you see them throwing this humongous fit because I want, and they got something they want. And the mom says, no! And all of a sudden screaming, you know, as if they were being murdered. Okay? But notice what's happening. The child, even at that stage, now we don't know what it would have been like without the separation from God. We have no idea what it would have been like. But the child already is exhibiting a behavior in that he does not know what to want. And that behavior of not knowing what to want is a behavior that continues into the adult. Most of us have no idea what we want. Now, you may be one of those people who says, well, Father, I know exactly what I want. Yes, you know exactly what you think you want. But trust me, the older you get, and when you look back, you start saying, how could I have wanted what I thought I wanted? How stupid could I have been? That's why that old saying that when you were like 13 or 14 years old, your parents were the stupidest people that you could ever imagine. But when you turn 30 or 40, you look back at your parents and you say, how could they have become so wise so quickly? Because you learn. And how do you learn? You learn by disappointment. You learn by disappointment. Most of us, when we get what we want, you go, is that it? And so you go, there's got to be something better. And so you go around trying to find out what else you should want. Because what you wanted in the first place turned out to be not what you wanted. But you didn't know that. And so now you got to look for something else to want. And we go on and on and on, always thinking that the next thing and the next thing. You know, what's that old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Right? And listen, let me tell you, shopping can be a disease. And just like, you know, people who are addicted to drugs or sex or, you know, whatever, you have no idea what to want. No idea. And so what we do is we look at everybody else. What do they want? Maybe I should want what they want. Okay? That's the whole basis of advertising, by the way. They get you to want what you think the cool people want. So you learn to want what you want. One of my favorite little idea games or stuff, it's actually just an idea, whatever it is. But imagine that you have a whole room filled with toys for little kids, for toddlers. And then you put one toddler, say two or three, I have no idea when a baby becomes a toddler, but two or three or something like that, and they go in there, and they're alone with all these toys. And they're playing with a toy. They don't know which toy to play with. But they're playing with a toy. Now, put a second toddler in that room and close the door. Which toy do you think that second toddler is going to want? Everybody knows it. You know that the second toddler is eventually, and he'll do it very deftly, make believe he's not interested, but he will go to the first toddler. And pretty soon, a fight will break out over that one toy, even though the whole room is filled with toys. How come? And you know how come? Because the toddler didn't know what to want. He had no idea what to want. And so when he saw the first toddler with the toy, he unconsciously thinks, that must be the best toy. Because he wants it, and therefore I want it. Right? And so you copy. Notice that people are copying. And then if you put a third person in there, man, all hell could break loose. You know? But if you think it through, what's happening? And what's happening is we are learning how to desire. And how are we learning what to want or desire? By copying the wants and desires of other people. Okay? Trust me, that's what fashion's all about. That's what, you know, advertising, most of it is all about, is the fact that we live in a condition where we want what other people teach us to want. And I always get a kick out of it because periodically I'll talk to teenagers or young adults. I say, I don't copy anybody. I am my own self. I'm an individual. I always remind them that they're copying everybody else who doesn't want to copy anybody. Because you want to be an individual. Guess what? Everybody wants to be an individual. So all you're doing is copying individuals who want to be individuals. Okay. So the point here is that the corruption that has occurred inside your own head, your own heart, your own psyche, the corruption goes to the level of the fact that what you want is screwed up. When people say, well, is such and such a thing bad? And I go, no, the thing is not bad. It's the place in how you want it that's screwed up. Because in the way God intended it, you would want what God would want first. But notice, the moment that's severed, you've got it like, it always reminds me like, have you ever seen a hose that's already turned on, but nobody picks it up? All of a sudden, the hose goes, you know, like that. That's what a human want looks like. Okay? It's a hose, has no idea where to go, but it knows it's supposed to want something, and so what it does is it tries to copy everybody else that wants. And so what happens? Everybody ends up screwed up. Why? Because in wanting what we want, we don't know what we want, so we copy everybody else, but everybody else is screwed up, so you wind up screwed up, and then people copy you. Okay? And it's a huge disease. That is the disease called original sin. Original sin is not anything you did bad. Original sin is the fact that you have no idea who in God's green earth you are, and you have no idea what to want or where you're going. You think you do, but every time you get disappointed, you say, what should I do now? Because you don't know where you're going. And believe me, that is the way it's going to be. It's going to be that way for the rest of your life until you learn how to want. And to learn how to want, you have to have a model. And the only model, you guessed it, is the man behind me. He is the only one who knows how to want 100%. Okay? That's why when we say, when you say, for example, The Bible says, ask for what you will, and if you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Right? It's in the Bible. So people interpret that to be, okay, I want to win the lottery. I know, everybody does. Okay, I want to win the lottery in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I want the lottery. Now, according to the interpretation of the Bible, you should get it. There is a joke. Have you heard that joke about the guy who prays, spends days and nights before the tabernacle in the chapel praying to God to win the lottery, and an angel appears to him and says, God has sent me with a message, and he's all, oh. And the angel says, God has told me to at least please buy a ticket. So anyway, you see, what happens is that slowly you will be disappointed throughout your life. Everything you want will not be horrible, but it will not be enough. You will always say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And then you'll go to the next thing. Now, what you do have to do is when you slowly become, over time, you become totally disappointed, you learn what real treasure is all about. Because you've had so many fake treasures in your life. And you thought they were good. And they were not bad. They're not evil. Okay? But it isn't enough. You know, I always get kind of a sad, funny, when I see couples in love. You know, they're all over each other. You know, just saliva going everywhere. You know, they just, so, but when they're in love, okay, what happens? Oh, I can't live without you. You're my sunshine. I can't live without you. And 6, 7, 8, 10 years later, or even sooner, I love him. Yeah, he's good. He's good. I'm going out with the girls or something like that. Okay. So here's the point. You will be disappointed. You will be. I don't care what. I don't care how much in love you are or how much you think your new house is going to be or whatever, your new car, you're going to be disappointed until you understand what true treasure is. And true treasure is reconnecting with God. Did you notice in the first reading? Hey, I bet you wondered, where is this all going? Going right back to the reading. Did you notice the first reading? Solomon asks, and God says to Solomon, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon asks for wisdom. And then God says, because you have asked me for that, and you didn't ask me for riches, for power, you didn't ask me for what everybody else thinks is treasure, I will make you the wisest person. Okay. What happened? He asked for the right treasure. What happens to a lot of us is we ask God for things, like for the lottery, and we think it means saying Jesus' name. But when Jesus said to us, ask what you will in my name, and I will give it to you. He doesn't mean that you're supposed to say his name. He means within his will. Let me give you an example. If I asked you to go to a courthouse and conduct some business in my name, am I telling you to go to the courthouse and do whatever you want to do and then say, in Mario's name? Is that what I'm asking you? No. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to please go to the courthouse, since you know me very well, and you know what I would want, that you are able to act in my name. That's what it means. It means that you have become close to God enough that you know what it is that is in his name for you, that is in line with what God has for you. And that's what Solomon did. Solomon asked for wisdom. Now look at the gospel. The gospel is giving you the same image. A man finds a field, and there's treasure in it. Now, this is interesting. What would you do if you went to an empty field, and you were walking, and all of a sudden you stumbled, and you dug a little bit, and you found a huge something that was worth millions of dollars? What would you do? And you know what most people would do? You take it, right? I found it. Finders keepers, losers, weepers. Okay? So you take it, and then you sell it, and everybody's taking pictures of it. Where'd you find it? I found it in a field. Guess what? You're going to get sued. Why? Because you stole it. You stole it from the field. The field didn't belong to you. And so you're going to have to give it back. Notice what the man in the story does. He sells all of he has. He hides it again. Sells everything he has, and then he buys the field. He does. The guy who's selling it to him doesn't know that there's a treasure in it, but that's his problem. Okay? So he buys the field. So now the treasure's belonging to him. What's the point? The point Jesus is saying is you can't shortcut your way to the treasure of your life. You can't steal it. You can't find a shortcut for what you really ought to be. You can't. You gotta buy it. And what did the man have to do in order to buy it? He had to sell everything. What Jesus is saying is, the moment you want something more than you want what God wants for you, you already lost it. Why? Because you're trying to steal it. One of the things that I always enjoyed was I heard one time a good friend of mine, we were talking about people who take drugs because they want to feel the high. They're looking for that high, the treasure. But you know what? He called it spiritual burglary. Think about that. Getting high is spiritual burglary. You're trying to steal what mystics and people who have become close to God get legitimately by reconnecting with God. Only you're trying to mimic it by drugs. And other addictions are the same way. And so, closing down, what Jesus is trying to say to us is, look, the problem we have is the problem y'all people have. Is that you're messed up at the central level of what you want. You don't even know what you want. All you can ask is ask God to help you to learn to want what he wants. Because what he wants for you is ultimately what you want. What you want inside at the deepest level of you, that already was created by God. The corruption is what's giving static. And since that's static, you don't know how to listen right. And St. Paul says, look, you don't get what you ask for. Why? Because you ask wrongly. You don't know how to ask. And so there's no shortcut, friend. There's no shortcuts. We got to learn to want, and we got to restore learning how to want by imitating the guy behind me. He's the only one who can teach you how to want what you ought to want. Thanks for listening.